I have a little humor before I get into the Word of God with you. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people can get to buy cigarettes at the front. Only in America do people order double cheeseburger, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do banks leave both doors open and they chain the pens to the counter. Only in America do we leave cars. This is the truth. Oh, man. No, I'm going to probably get a lot of us guys in trouble. How many of you have ever junked your garage up so much you couldn't put your car in it? Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put our useless junk in the garage. Only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and buns in packages of 8. Only in America do we have a drive-up ATM machines with braille lettering. Ever wonder why? Now we're going to give you some whys. Let's see here, the other side here. You ever wonder why the sun lightens our hair but darkens our skin? You ever wonder why women can't put on mascara without their mouth closed? Did you ever wonder why women can't put on mascara with their mouth closed? Do you ever wonder why, don't you ever see the headline, Psychic Wins Lottery? Why is abbreviated such a long word? If it's abbreviated, why is it such a long word? Why is it that doctors call what they do practice? Why do they sterilize the needle for lethal injections? You know that indestructible black box that's used on airplanes? Why don't they make the whole plane out of that stuff? Why don't sheep shrink when it rains? Why are they called apartments when they're all stuck together? If flying is so safe, why do they call the airport terminal? I think that got it. I think that's it. Let's give the Robinsons a great hand. That was that's good. Did the bowling go good yesterday, Raj? Amen. Amen. Great. I had a 2 o'clock appointment with the nursing home. Oh, we had what a great day at the nursing home we had. I think there's around 10 people at the nursing home with us. And the Girl Scouts showed up, and with Sonia and Bobby and them, and boy, it was just a. Then I met at 3 o'clock with the bikers. We had some. I got done around 5 o'clock yesterday, and then Steve came over. What time did you get by there? Around 6. We had a great day. There was a lot of people doing a lot of things. And visitation, I was told Eddie Wilson led someone to Christ, a 19-year-old man, young teenager, and. I didn't get all, but I heard they had a great report that way. So we had a good day. Let's look at let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Glad you're here. How many came looking for a great day? Last Sunday we had a you had a banner day here, and we had a banner day with Pastor Teets. He had a full building just like you did. We had 6 people saved. We baptized 3. We had a couple that came from beyond Bowling Green, Ohio. Visited about 35, 40 miles they drove to come. Pemberville or something like that. And they were middle-aged, husband, wife. And they got saved Sunday morning. They came back and we baptized them Sunday night. I didn't pastor, you know, pastor teach church. And she said, you're the first preacher. They went to church all their life, Coolidge. All their life. Middle-aged couple. Probably in their 40s or near 50. She said, and they were in tears. They said, she said, you're the first preacher I ever said in, that I didn't fall asleep while you were preaching. I don't know if that meant that was good, Chuck. I think I was loud. And he said, we've went to church all our life. We never missed church. He said, we learned more the first service at this church about how to get to heaven than we did our whole entire life. They're out there, Josh. Isn't that exciting? There's people out there, they go to church, but they don't know about Christ. And they were in church all their life. Didn't have Christ. So they're out there. And it was an exciting day. And alrighty, we're on baptism, Bible baptism, and let's look at this paper here. We're on the where it says about the authority in your big thing, your big pamphlet. And then take your little insert that I gave you on the first page. And it says, no church can get anyone into heaven. Let me see that. No church can get any, I don't care if it's a Baptist. I believe Jesus started a Baptist church, but a Baptist church don't get you to heaven. No church ever gets you to heaven. It's the Savior of the church. The founder of the church. The one that started the church, the founder of the church, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, he's the one that gets you to heaven. People die and go to hell, Tommy. By the way, Tommy brought a great message Thursday. He brought a message on be honest with God. And he challenged them just to be honest with themselves. And if people will be honest with themselves, they'll realize that no church membership, Baptist or Catholic or Lutheran or Methodist, can get them to heaven. They need Christ to get them to heaven. Here's that couple with Tommy. I'm not picking on that couple last week at Brother Perry's church. They were Roman Catholic. I'm not picking on the Catholic, but they were Roman Catholic in church all their life and never knew they had to be born again to get to heaven. But they got honest with themselves. And I pointed my finger out and said, if you don't know Christ your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. And that fellow, he told his wife, he said, that man means business. He's not just playing with us. And people need to understand. And like tonight, we're going to have a different type of service tonight. We are going to have a service, be a little bit different than we normally have. And we're going to meet here in church and everything like that. But we're going to try to reach out to some people that never maybe heard about Christ. Amen? And so no church can get you into heaven. The Apostle Paul warned the false teachers. We went over that. Note, Jesus established the church when he was here. And he empowered it in Acts chapter 2. Remember the Holy Ghost came down? He established it. Look at Matthew chapter 16. I know I got you in Luke, but go to Matthew 16. And I know I covered this, but I was gone last week and it interrupted you. Some of you might not have heard that. Jesus started the church when he was on earth. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 16 through 18. But I'll even start at verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13 through 18. Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am, the Son of Man am? They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? I don't care what they think about me. What do you think about me? What do you think about Christ? Don't worry what the world thinks about Christ. Get it on a personal one-on-one. You got to get one-on-one with Jesus. That couple finally, Stephen, after 40-some years, they finally got one-on-one with Christ last week over there in Holland, Ohio. Amazing Grace Baptist Church. He said, whom do you say? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ. That'll get you to heaven. thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Yeah, the world, when you realize that Christ is you need Christ as Savior, that's not a worldly thing, that's a spiritual thing. You're born into the world with a fleshly birth, you're born again by a spiritual birth. And only God can show you that spiritual. And he has not revealed it, but my Father which is in heaven. Now look at verse 18. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build what? My church. My church. I will build my church. Jesus has got a church. He started it, Brother Brent, when he walked on this earth. It didn't start at Pentecost. It was empowered at Pentecost, but they only had 120 members. You read the book of Acts, when the day of Pentecost came, there was 120 of them already gathered. They had a treasure. Judas was the treasure. Hello? He was a crooked one, but he was. Are you still with me? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, I'm starting this church, and I'm going to tell you right now, Peter, the gates of hell is not going to stop it. The gates of hell is not going to destroy it. In other words, Jesus said, I'm starting my church, and it's going to be perpetual. It'll never end. Amen. It's going to continue through the ages. Are you with me? And so Jesus starts his church there, and we challenged you. Look at the middle of your paper, and I know I'm reviewing this, but because I didn't get to keep going from the being gone, I said, well, what kind of church did he? See, look up here. I used to raise Labrador Retrievers. Labrador Retrievers. Does anybody else have a pedigree dog? What kind do you have, man? You have a Pekingese, which are very sharp, and boy, they can snip you if you don't watch it. Real, they are. And you wouldn't trade them for the world, would you? Amen. Who else has another? Brad, you got a Cocker Spaniel? Yes, ma'am. You got a Boston Terrier. We have a lady who raises them in our church, the Belchers. They have Boston Terriers. Good little dog. Mark, you have a Skipper T, a little black dog, a little sharp dog. Anybody else? Yes, way in the back. Mary? German Shepherd. And anybody else want to tell me? Jitsu. Oh, yes. Yeah, amen. What kind you got? Yes. And what kind, Leo? A Yorkie? You have a Yorkie? Those are sharp little dogs, man. Now, let me say something to you. I did that for a reason. Why don't they call that Yorkie? What was the name of your dog again? A Skipper Key. Why don't they call that Yorkie a Skipper Key? Why don't they call Roger's Cocker Spaniel a Labrador Retriever? The reason they, see, you identify people by a name. You would, see, that Cocker Spaniel has got whole different characteristics than my Labrador Retriever. Like, for instance, the characteristic of my Labrador Retriever was he loved to go on water. Cold doesn't bother him. Even though I would be freezing sometimes, seeing that dog go out and break ice and go get them ducks. He said, let's keep doing it. Love to swim. Chuck could throw a ball there as long as he wants. Chuck, I would guarantee it, Chuck's arm would get tired of throwing a ball before. By the way, they have a German Shepherd. At least he's mostly German. I don't know if he's 100%, but I know they got a German Shepherd. Don't you have a big dog there? Yeah, amen. That's a puppy's name. I love that. Yeah, good dog. Anyways, what I'm saying is this. My Labrador, they call him Labrador Retriever because there's distinctives. There's distinctives for that Yorkie. There's distinctives for those shepherds. and whatever, for the Boston Terrier. Matter of fact, some, because they just call them, some people just want, the real devout ones, they just call them Bostons. I mean, I watched a film the other day, about a month ago, just on Boston Terriers, and those people over there, they just say, don't put a terrier, they're Boston. That's where they originated from. All right, hello, anybody with me? But they're distinctive. That little dog that you mentioned, that dog is distinctive, ma'am. I could picture, when you told me, I could just, they're real sharp. Was that, would you say Pekingese? And, yeah, and they might have come from, their origin might be China, I'm not sure. But what I'm saying is, and I'm trying to make a point, and then you're going to get what I'm doing here. The reason they call that Pekingese what they, and not a beagle, is because that Pekingese is entirely different than a beagle. So names identify, distinguish, show forth qualities of what things are. Are you with me? Now, I said that. Look at your paper to stir up your mind. When you teach this, when after I get past the baptism, we'll be in pretty good shape. A lot of people won't get mad at me. But I'm going to give you the truth whether you believe it or not. When we get to heaven, you'll say, oh man, that guy, that preacher was telling me the truth. Note, Jesus said, my church, there in the middle there. And I challenged you that one Sunday. Was this church that, was the church that Jesus built, was it a church that believes you can lose your salvation? It wasn't. Because Jesus said you have everlasting life. Amen. Was it a church that believes you got to speak in tongues? No, Jesus said it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. Not, you know, are you with me? What is it a church that believes you must work? Yeah, Ephesians 2, I just quoted. No, it's not. You can't. It's not a church that believes you. There's churches that believe you got to work to get it. There's no work in salvation. The work of salvation was worked by Christ. Amen. On the cross. And then he cried out in the ninth hour, it's finished. He did the job for you and I. And so, would Jesus start a church that teaches you to lose your salvation? Would Jesus start a church that teaches you got to work for your salvation? Would Jesus start a church that believes that you have to be baptized to be saved, to go to heaven? No. So, all I'm trying to tell you is this. If you want to believe the Bible, and I'm going to believe it, Jesus said, "I've got a church. I'm starting a church, and the church of the gates of hell won't prevail against it, and that church is going to be throughout all generations." Then that means, Brother Mark, Brother Stephen, that means his church is here somewhere. Raji, that means the church that Jesus started, it's still here in 2008. Don't get mad at me. Now, how do we identify the church that Jesus started? We identify it by what the doctrine of the church has. You could put a guy, if you get a guy really saved, Bobby, and put him on an island all by himself with the King James Bible, he'll come out a Baptist. But I'm going to show you something else. By the way, don't get a big head. No, Baptists don't get anybody to heaven. Just I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm going first class, amen. I want you to look with me now, on your paper. Look at Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to show you why I know it's a Baptist church. Besides doctrine, but it has to line up with doctrine or. Look up here. You got to get this because people fight this. Don't be ashamed of the church that Jesus started. Don't get high-minded and say, we're better than you. No, that ain't my mind. I have a humble heart. God, thank you for putting me in the church that gave me truth. You were lucky. You have a heritage, Brother Steve DeSalms. You have a, your grandparents were in fundamental Baptist churches. And then Stevie grew up. It was passed down to you, Stephen. You have a heritage passed down to you from your grandparents. And your mom and dad. Don't fight this. How many believe Jesus started a church? How many believe it's still here today? Just like there's only one real Bible. There's only one real church. By the way, though, the people that get, I'm better than you, I'm in a Baptist church, that's not the Spirit of God. You ought to say, man, I just praise God that I've been fortunate to get truth. I'm glad, fortunately, Rosie, when I met Rosie off the streets, they took me to an old-fashioned Baptist church. I'm glad I got truth, Bobby. It's nothing to be high-minded about. It's something to be thankful about. And people don't understand that. And by the way, again, there's going to be a lot of members of Baptist churches that go to hell. So don't walk in and say, man, preacher's teaching you got to be a Baptist to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what you are, you're not going to go to heaven unless you're saved. Churches don't have one thing to do with getting you to heaven. But they have a whole lot to do helping you get to heaven, because a church that teaches you truth, if you know the truth will make you free. John 8:32. Okay. So, look at Matthew 3:13. I'm going to show you some things. 3:13, we're going to see Jesus' baptism. How many got Matthew 3:13? Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Unto John. He came to John the Baptist for a reason. To be baptized of John. How many to be baptized of him? John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? Jesus answered. See, John had the right attitude, didn't he? John had the right attitude. And Jesus answered, suffer it to be now, for thus becometh to us to fulfill all righteousness that he, so he suffered him. Now notice, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, definitely by immersion. And lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And look, a voice came, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God put his hand and his sanction on that baptism. Are you with me? Now stay with me. Turn your paper. Don't get blown out. Stay with me before you get mad at me. I'm going to give you Bible truth. Whether you take it or not, that's up to you. But I'm giving it to you. Remember who did Jesus come to be baptized? By the way, he walked 60 miles. Jesus walked 60 miles. He walked 60 miles, Brother Harry, to be baptized by the right authority. It matters who baptizes you. Look at John chapter 1, verse 6. Does it say there was a man sent from God whose name was John? How many see that? There was a man sent from God. Who sent John? Yeah, you're right. You're right, Kenny. Boy, I'm glad, you know, Kenny, these are young Christians. They're going to get it right. You're lucky that you're in a good fundamental church. He's going to be getting truth, right? He just got saved. They're getting at the get-go. Amen? Make sure you guys come. Every one of these Bible classes, you get down with this 10 lessons, you guys will be solid. You'll be solid in the Word. It's going to take me a long time to teach these 10 weeks, but when you get done... That's right. I'm taking time. I'm not rushing. I want you to get it. Amen. God gave it to me, and I want to give it to you so you can give it to others. There was a man sent from God. Who sent him? God. And what was his name? John. You're right. He was sent from God, and his name was John the Baptist. Now watch. How did John get his name? God gave John the Baptist his name. John the Baptist was not named by his parents. God Almighty gave John his name. Look at Luke chapter 1. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just reading you the Bible. People really get, boy, people get uptight over stuff like this. But if you're going to believe a portion of the Bible, you might as well believe it all. Again, if you get high-minded over this, you've got the wrong attitude. We ought to be thankful that we've got that the Lord gave us, because not everybody, there's a lot of people saved out there. There's a lot of good people saved out there, but it's never had truth. They got enough truth to get saved, but they never got. Just a minute. We're not stopping. Hold on. We're gonna finish some of this. We're gonna wait for another 10 minutes. Look, hold that bell. That second bell. Don't ring it to 5 after. I'm serious. Look at John chapter 1. Look at verse 11. John chapter 1, verse 11. I'm sorry, Luke. Yeah, we're talking about John. Go to Luke. Thank you. Look at Luke 1, 11. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, saw him, he was troubled. It was Gabriel that came there, by the way. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Yeah, Gabriel is a messenger. Gabriel in the Bible was always a messenger for God. Even in the Old Testament, Gabriel was always bringing messages. Michael now, he's the bad stick. He's the North Toledo guy. He's the Wyndham bomber. Amen. they're different. But what I want you to see is, and by the way, Jesus had a virgin birth. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. He had a miraculous birth. He wasn't born of a virgin, but his mama was well beyond, she was real old, like Abraham and Sarah. I don't know the age of her at this time, but I know once she was well stricken in age. They were well beyond years of having a child. So what I want you to know something. John the Baptist was a miracle child. God made that miracle happen. God gave him his authority. God gave him his name. Keep reading with me before that bell tries to snap me again. Luke chapter 1 and verse 14. And thou shalt have joy, gladness. Many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. That's amazing. I don't know how that can be, but God said it, so I'm just going to say amen to it. Amen? Hey, I don't understand everything. I'm just going to believe what God says. You're going to call God a liar? God can do anything he wants to do. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, which is talking about Elijah, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children of disobedience to the wisdom, just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto him, I said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." Hey, Gabriel, you don't understand. My wife's too old. We're too old to have a baby. Angel answered, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." And he did. And they did have a baby. Look to verse 57. 57. Now, Elizabeth, full time. By the way, if you study, there's other things they talk about in there about Elizabeth in that chapter, but I'm trying to hurry. They came through that she should be delivered. She brought forth a son. Her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass, see, Elizabeth was Mary's sister or cousin. They're related. Cousin, right. They were cousins. And it's over there. Verse 36, behold thy cousin Elizabeth. See verse 36? Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. How many see that? Thy cousin. Okay. We'll have a child in her old age. Now, go back to verse 59. It came to pass on the eighth day, there came to be circumcised a child, and they called to his name Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Why did they call him John? Because Gabriel said, you're going to call him John. John got his name from heaven. Before he was even born. You're right, Grandma. Yeah, but we're waiting just a couple more minutes here. We're going to finish this thought. And John was named by God. John was a miracle baby brought forth by God. He used two old people. Now, it's not the virgin birth like the Son of God, Jesus, but he still had a... What I want you to see is it was a miracle birth. In other words, everything about John was the hand of God, what I want you to see. Notice in verse 64, and his mouth was open, immediately his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. The moment he said this, verse 63, he asked for a writing and wrote, his name is John, and they marveled. As soon as Zacharias said, his name is not my name, it's going to be John, God loosed his tongue. How many see that? Look also in verse 76 and 77. And thou shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sin, of their sins. And so, let's just look up here with me. So, how many can see that God gave John his name? John 1, 6 says, he was sent by God. So he had a miracle birth from God. He got his name from God. He got his authority from God. And by the way, he wasn't John the Baptizer. That's not his name. There's 15 times recorded New Testament says John the Baptist. His name's not the Baptizer. His name was John the Baptist. That's what God called him. That was his name. John the Baptist. Don't get mad at me. That's what God called him. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. And so, see, you identify people by their characteristics. You're identified with the distinctives that the people stand for. Like that dog, German Shepherd, and Labrador, and Beagle, and you name your name? Hello? That's why when you tell people you're a Baptist, they know. They know. Boy, it gets real quiet. I go to Lutheran, yeah, good. I go to Catholic, yeah. I go to First Methodist, yeah, that's good. Where you go? I go down there to Bethel Baptist on Freedom. Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Because, Bobby, they know what we stand for. See, you're identified by your name, Josh. Our name doesn't save us, but our name identifies what we stand for. Yeah. Right. Well, I'll pick this up next week, but he got his authority from God. John the Baptist was sent from God. Jesus walked 60 miles because he knew it was important to be baptized by the right authority. And John the Baptist had the authority, and what he did, he passed it on down. Okay. We'll kick through this and get to the next page. We'll probably have about 15 minutes of authority bit next week, and then we'll go into the next, and you all can say, he's got through it. I'm going to tell you right now, I think the Lord's had me, I'm going to let this rest. Look at one more scripture, and then we'll just start next week in this page here. I think the Lord, I've given you the truth. If you're not going to take it now, you're not going to take it later. I'll tell you how important it was for to have Baptist baptism. Look at Acts chapter 1, and then we'll go. Remember Judas? He sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Then he went out and killed himself. He had to be replaced. Look at Acts chapter 1. And I'll just let this paper go. I've done my job. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, of these men which have company with us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. Are you with me in Acts? Beginning. See, there was a beginning. From the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained. What do you mean, preacher? That man that took his place had to have the baptism of John, brother. The one that took his place had to have the baptism of John. Yes, sir. Because God doesn't believe in anything but Baptist baptism. Aren't you glad I'm a Baptist? By the way, I'm no better than anybody else. But the Bible does teach that Jesus started a church and there's a proper baptism. And that's why we demand Baptist baptism, because it's the right, it's what God's ordained. Brother Mark, you're a Baptist preacher. There's two things that God gave the church. The first thing after you're saved is Baptist baptism, which you folks have had. And then the Lord's Supper. And that's the only people that really have the authority to administer it. Anything administered outside of those that have the authority, the Baptist Church, it's not really scriptural. You mean, oh, sorry. I know that's a big statement, isn't it? But I'm just trying to give you the Bible. Whether people believe it or not, that's, but God so, Jesus gave John his name. He gave him his authority. He was sent by God. That's how we got our baptism. And it's been passed down. Are you with me? Down through the years. It's been passed down. Perpetual. Are you with me? And so don't be ashamed that you're a Baptist. Jesus started a Baptist church. Don't be high-minded. Thank God you're in a church that he started. Then we got truth. Amen. Brother Kerry, lead us in prayer, would you? Yes.
We ask that you will allow us to listen with ears open and to take what is being said to you. Understand that we are all saved by grace.
Yes.
And that you started this church, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you will bless the services today, you, the children, and the children's services. We ask, Lord, that we'll see you soul saved today.
Yes. Amen. We'll break for 5 minutes. Thank you.